Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And we are very excited today to have Arnaud Gagné and Christina Shea with us. And together, these two are a husband and wife team who have dedicated their lives to helping families return to a natural, connected way of living.
Sounds like us.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be a really great conversation because I think we're very much on a very similar path. So over the past couple of decades, Arnaud has been teaching ancestral skills and guiding people into deep relationship with the natural world, mentoring many on transformative journeys to rediscover joy, purpose, and community. Christina brings her own heart-centered expertise as a mother and educator, supporting women through conception, pregnancy, birth, and postpartum with an approach that weaves together time-tested wisdom and modern science. She believes that maternal well-being is the foundation of thriving families and ultimately of humanity itself. Together, they are raising their son at home, rooted in the physical, emotional, and spiritual nourishment of nature, family, and community. Their shared passion is helping parents create an environment where children can grow up grounded, resilient, and deeply connected to the earth in these changing times. You can learn more about their work at connectionpathways.com and at christinashea.com. That's christinashea.com. Guys, what a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here. That was such a lovely introduction.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like, wow, when I hear it reflected back, it's like, whoa, we're doing some pretty cool stuff together. Yes.
It really is a cool experience when you actually sit back and hear someone share your story, you know, your quote unquote bio, and kind of merge together. And you're kind of like, wow, that sounds awesome. I want to talk to those people.
That's exactly. I kept looking over at her. No, like, yeah.
What's their website? I want to go check that out.
Yeah.
So this has been a conversation that we've been looking forward to having with you guys for a little while. And I know we've tried a few times to connect, and finally our calendars worked out that we are making it happen today. And as Taya said, yes, you guys, I think we've been on a very similar path with the importance of connection and really letting nature inform, because I feel like we are actually informed by almost anything but nature nowadays. And to me, this is probably the most essential thing that we need to do. And it's one of the biggest things we've done with our kids as well, is really trying to let nature be the number one guide, because that actually reflects their own inner nature more.
And I really liked, Christina, hearing your journey or your mission of starting that right from the get-go at the time of birth. Because I remember we have three children. My oldest is almost 21. And when I had him in my 20s, I had a midwife and we went through that route. And anyhow, the midwife, we ended up going to the hospital to have that journey. But it was interesting because even the way that he was brought into the world was very different than how we chose to bring in our now 8 and 9 year old, which we had at home, whom we had at home, both of them. And what a difference. What a difference in just even having a different environment and having a different support network. And I know with my own personal journey, it was less and less and less people in the room, less and less and less interventions, and more faith in my own capacity and my own ability. I know that I was so smitten with Ina May and her books when I was giving birth to our girls, and I had them pretty much back to back. But it was all about just really tuning in to our own biointelligence and our own bodies and feeling into that. And I would, yeah, love to dive into all of that with you guys today.
Yeah, lovely. When you mentioned Ina May Gaskin, that was actually one of the people that propelled me deeply on this journey through midwifery care and tending to the birthing families. I remember I met one of my girlfriends here on Vancouver Island when I moved, and she was telling me all about her experience with her midwife and her doula. And those were words that I didn't grow up hearing. It was more, you know, like an obstetrician delivers babies. Like, that was the narrative in my world. And here I was, like, listening to this woman tell me about a midwife. And I was like, what is that? Like, and she handed me Ina May Gaskin's book, actually. And I read it that night, the whole book from front to cover. And I was like, from that moment on, I was like, I want to become a midwife. Like, that was like my mission. I was like, this is what I want to do. Cause I always had this like personal question of like, what was like the root cause of suffering for humans? And why did like me and my brother have like this like similar upbringing, but we came out so different? I had these like two questions, always like curious, like what makes them be like resilient through things and all these like questions that they have like a similar upbringing. And yeah, so when I read Ina May Gaskin's, I was like, wow, like birth, like how important that was for shaping a human's life. And yeah, it really just like propelled me down. And then I went and started to study midwifery and realized very, very quickly before I even got into the university program, I was doing all the prerequisites and all of the things. And I learned very, very quickly that the traditional midwifery that Ina May Gaskin talks about is very, very different from like the midwifery that we see here today. And it really just halted me really hard in my journey. And I realized that like I wouldn't be able to like truly support women in this like genuine way within that umbrella of care, because they basically still are working under like the medical system in a way that really has their hands tied when it comes to offering true midwifery care. And so that propelled me down like the doula route, which I found a little bit more flexible in like the way that I could show up and support families. But it really didn't like really hit until I was introduced to pre and perinatal psychology, where I felt like the work really kind of flourished for me, learning about the baby's experience in the womb and their time around birth and the very early years of life around 18 months, how important that was in shaping our health and our wellness for like our lifelong health. So
it's wild, even when you were bringing up that question of what is the root cause of suffering, I actually remember having that same discussion with a good friend of mine probably like 15 years back, when we were going through just thinking like, what really is at the heart of suffering? And what came up for us was just the concept of disconnect. I feel like it was like disconnect from self, disconnect from source, disconnect from nature. Like it was a disconnect from ultimately, I think, what is really real and true. And then everything kind of just goes away from that. And if we can find a way to really connect back to what and get in alignment with what I feel like is really at the heart of sort of truth for us and for human beings, I think a lot of those things, then we start to inform ourselves differently. We start to show up in the world different. And then we actually start to heal on so many different levels.
And we're kind of seeing that, aren't we? I feel like our world is actually become that. Like when we look around, we see that the result of that disconnect. We have Indigenous friends as well in Ontario whom we converse with oftentimes. And what they say too is that we've kind of gone as far as we could have away from source, from creator. And this is where we are currently. This is our reality right now. And the hardships and the challenges and the level of suffering that we see is a result of that. So then now we can kind of, we're kind of at a precipice where we can choose whether we completely go off course or we return home back to source, creator, nature. So what are your thoughts around that, Arno? I'm throwing you right in there.
I think kind of connected in with that, Arno, is just because you've got, your background is in like ancestral skills and nature connection. And how did you end up on that unique path? Where did you kind of, what sort of brought you into that?
Yeah, well.
Because that's not the norm. It's like, yeah. Really, you the more you realize in the world, that's not the norm. It's actually a very different path that most people even get supported to kind of move towards.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. And, well, I'll try to make a long story short, which will also answer the question And the question about, and you were talking about, you know, just how the disconnect, so that'll come in there in the story. I mean, basically, I was born in the disconnect, and you know, sparing details, you know, I had a, you know, you would look on the outside like kind of like a normal-ish childhood, but actually it was quite a traumatic childhood, you know, the way I grew up, and even, you know, tying into Christina's work, the way that I was born and the time of my gestation and all those things. And I think now that I have the perspective of a lot of the things I've learned through you, Christina, that actually all those things kind of manifested and showed up in the school years. In school, I mean, school to me was a prison. 12 years I was there every single day. I did not want to be there, and I had to be there, right? That's the thing of it. But because of the other stuff, I think I was prepped to be exposed to bullying and those kind of things. So what really happened is actually I was born into that world, and I never really fit in. That modern world, the disconnected world, just kind of basically spat me out. And so when I came out of obligatory school, I came into college, and I was like, wow, this is just like more of the same stuff. I don't want this. But now I had a choice, so I just left and I went. My older cousin was one of the people that, you know, still to this day, I just like have so much gratitude for him, my cousin Eric. And he was 13 years older than me. And he took me in kind of as a mentor. And it was through sports, through like skiing and snowboarding and mountain biking and skateboarding. And that kind of like kept me alive. And through that, I felt the call to move out west. And when I was out west, he kind of planted that seed too, that if I was to go out there, I'd become a mountain guide. So I had mountain guide in my mind, and what that did is it took me into the backcountry. I took like my skiing and snowboarding, and I took it into a wilder place, you know, away from the ski resorts and all that. And all of a sudden, things are quiet, and you're just there with the mountain. I had to learn about avalanche awareness, and you know, so that kind of raised my awareness in the mountains. And something happened out there, which, you know, is mysterious. And it was connection. I was connecting to nature, but at that point, I really needed like the grandeur of the mountains, and like this really like powerful landscape was pulling me in. But at some point in that time, there was to a train of synchronicity, I got into work with a summer camp in the summer, taking kids out onto, you know, backpacking and canoe trips and things like that. And it was during that summer, I remember something in me came up, and I was like, I need to learn survival skills. I need to learn to get out in nature without all this gear, with all this modern stuff, the way our ancestors did. Like, I need to like be part of the earth. And you know, later on, as I found through some of my teachers, I was basically an astronaut out there, you know, with all the gear and the backpack and the food and the camping stove with the fuel. And you know, if you lose that, it's your lifeline, and all of a sudden you're on the moon and you can't survive without it, right? But I wanted different. I wanted to be part of it. And so that all my energy, like, yeah, I was just a really passionate person when I got into something, you know, which school was not at all feeding for me. As a matter of fact, it was squashing it. But when I got out, now I could just do whatever I wanted at that point. I was drawn to these things that I was passionate about, and I just got really into this, and it's all I talked about. And through synchronicity, at some point, somebody handed me some books by Tom Brown Jr. This is probably like 25 years ago now. And as soon as I read that, that was it. And I was at that time, I'd work in the ski school in the winter in Whistler, here in BC, and then in the summer I would just rock climb. Like that's what I was doing. I lived in my tent in that summer, and all of a sudden I'm reading these books by Tom Brown. His first one, The Tracker. She gave me The Tracker and Tom Brown's Field Guide to Wilderness Survival. So I went through that, and I was like, oh my God, this is my new life. Like this is it, you know. And it was all about the skills, but it had this whole, you know, deep spirituality behind it, which I didn't even know I was looking for. And then it opened this whole new world because, you know, Tom Brown's teacher, Grandfather Stocking Wolf, would say that tracking was the doorway to awareness, and awareness was the doorway to spirit. And when I read that, I was like, oh wow, like this is it. Like, so now it was this whole other thing. I was looking for, you know, making fire without matches and being able to, I started with the medicinal plant, 'cause, and then I discovered this whole other world of like the awareness and tracking. And that took me on this whole journey. And at one point I was like, I need to go to Tom Brown's school. But it was in New Jersey and I lived in BC, and I was like, that just never really worked out. And then that same person, when I went back with like, you got more of these books, you know, and she gives me Grandfather, the story of Tom Brown's teacher, and then she gives me another one called Living with the Earth. And she also tells me, well, there's this other guy named John Young, and you guys interviewed him not too long ago. And at first I was kind of like, you know, and she said he's Tom Brown's first student, and you know, he's in Washington. At that time he was in Washington. Now he's
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The only person that Tom taught, like grandfather taught him, and I was at first I was kind of like, I don't know, I want the guy, you know, like I don't want the second guy, I want the guy. But of course, later on, through so many things, this would be a really long story to tell, but a lot happened. You know, I dedicated myself for a long time, but the first thing I did was take, because I couldn't go down even to Washington. That was just not in the cards for me to take the year-long program that they were offering. So, but I found that there was this distance training that at the time was called the Come On a Naturalist training program. And now, last year was renamed the Natural Mind Initiation Path, which, you know, 20 years later, I'm part of one of the people that helps guide people through that program as a responder mentor. But so I just went through that, and I just had this amazing journey on my own, you know, with my sit spot, that place that you visit every day, and you get to know like it was, you know, your best friend or your bedroom, and just guided through these exercise. And I treated it like a ceremony, you know. I would never go past where I was in the book. And at that time, it was an online course. It was just like, I'd read the book, I'd do stuff, I'd send in photocopies of my work, and somebody would send me an answer. Right? But it took me on a wild journey. Like, I was at first, I didn't want nothing to do with people, and I was learning to live in the wild, and all of a sudden these things started happening in the world of people, that just these synchronicities, you know. I heard you talk about synchronicity, Taya, and you know, that's not a word I even knew at that point, but now that I look back, they just started happening, or maybe my awareness of them just kicked in, or maybe it's a little bit of both. And so, yeah, I just kept going, and you know, I was looking at that point. The call was to shared that with children, and I was trying to look at like how to start children program. I did get a couple of times where I was able to go down to a wilderness awareness school and take some of their coyote mentoring training, and coming back and trying to offer it. But there wasn't a lot of people doing this out here at that time. So I would integrate it into some other work I was doing with youth. Until eventually it was in 2016, I think, or 17 that I actually met John Young in person when he came to Salt Spring Island to help with one of the first big events called the Art of Mentoring, where we recreate the whole village with all the multi-generational roles and layers, and you know, there's families and elders and everything, you know, we're trying to get as close as we can for a week to what, you know, life could be like, you know, if we would lived in connection. And it all came together, right? And I met him at first. It was weird because I was used to hearing speak on recordings and all that. And it was through these couple of next few years that we connected personally, and he became a mentor for me. And so that's how I'm like now going further and further.
Yeah, that's great. I really think people have to have that type of an experience. You have to have a bit of an immersion to be in it, even though you're trying to recreate something, you know, that used to be organically done, but still you get a pretty good feel for that. And I know after when we spoke with Tom Young, I mean, the stuff that he's doing, John Young, he's he does, it's really beautiful. And anybody to read his work too, it's it gives a really nice guideline. We incorporate a lot of those kind of principles are tied into the stuff that we do here with the kids as well.
Well, when we brought our girls, when COVID hit, after a few years, when they were actually ready technically to go into kindergarten and what have you, it was COVID time, mass time, no time. we kind of left. I kind of reached a point as a mom where I felt like I needed to protect my babies, and I couldn't. Every time we went out, you were exposed to so much fear, and you know those old cartoons that we used to watch, or maybe, I don't know, we don't watch TV now, but maybe the same goes on, where you see the black and white swirls in people's eyes. Yeah. That's how I felt was happening during COVID. Like, it wasn't people fully embodied here, aware, but it was just this program going out, this frequency going out, and then people just entranced and trained and checked out. And so I was really startled by that. And so we went for a trip to Mexico. And while we were there, the borders closed down in Canada. Like, they required certain inoculations in order to come back. And so we didn't. We decided to stay in Mexico for a while. We actually sold our home here from a distance and stayed there for almost a year. While we were there, we had the kids in a jungle style. It was a jungle school, Waldorf.
Really traditional based Waldorf school that was right out in the jungle, and some really wild experiences that they had.
They were visited by snakes on a regular basis and scorpions, and there were the indigenous Mexicans, local Mexicans within the building that would come out and just know exactly what to do and take care of what needed to be tended to. So they would remove the snake and relocate them and continue on with the singing.
And the kids did not take that as being over-threatening or scary. It was just like, oh, okay, here's what you do. And so very different sort of perspective on all of that. Yeah, and then back, but they'd be singing as they're walking through the jungle.
The forest. Yeah. And when we returned, we actually found, through synchronicity, a teacher who had left the school system and was teaching her own child, as well as had opened that up to the community, so had taken on a few other kids. So it was a nature-based school, for lack of a better word, that was created, like a forest school. And we had the kids there. And I realized and I learned through that experience that she had been trained with the coyote mentoring program as well. And then later on, we connected with Teresa, whom you know, who'd also had similar training. And then Serena, whom spoke really highly of you, and Catherine. And so we started to connect with like-minded individuals, and we realized that the common thread here was John Young's program and what he offered. And it was all about going back to nature, all about, you know, these fundamentals of what is really important and even looking for when we're looking to gauge a child's development. What is important? Because clearly, looking, if we're really honest, if we're truly honest, if we look at the world around us, we will recognize that we really have failed our children. We failed ourselves. Our, you know, our parents' parents have failed them, and it's been generational, but it's gotten progressively not more comfortable and not easier, not more connected, not happier, genuinely. So we need to relook at how we're even schooling our children and what that looks like. So when we started to look at those pieces, it was also, and then recently we connected with you through another synchronicity, because you were offering a camp, a 1 week camp, at a certain school here on the island, for families. And I was talking to Jason not too long ago before that, saying, we don't even encourage family, like coming together as a family unit. We encourage, like, you know, a
date night for the parents, and kids get together with other kids, and
sleep over with the kids, and girls night out.
And it's all wrapped up into that. People are on this treadmill and they're burnt out and tired. And so then it's like they need a break because everything's overwhelming. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's also so rejuvenating if you actually have genuine quality bonding time with your family. I feel like that's actually the most regenerative thing you can do. But there's so much stuff. I just picture the static in between all the stuff that people can't even create that space or enjoy that space when it even is there. They have to make some reprioritize and have these different experiences.
I just wanted to finish one thing about the story too, because I at one point in there I alluded to the fact that when I was young, I was in my early 20s, I wanted Tom Brown, and you know, and then I just wanted to give a shout out to John, who's been like my mentor now for like 5 years, and he's done so much for so many people. And that actually the end of that story was that through questing and all sorts of the experiences and tuning in, is like he was supposed to be my teacher like the whole time along. And one of the reasons for that is, you know, that what he brought, it's like this is a multi-generational vision, you know, that's passed down, and like everybody has their different mission within it and alignment. And John was so much about like bringing community together through nature. You know, like when I teach ancestral skills now, I am not interested in teaching people who just want to like go out in the wild, or maybe I'll still teach you because I think like maybe you're going to turn around because the connectivity and the skills turn you around. But what it is about is in the context of village, like what you were talking about. And I'm so excited. As you were talking about the families and the programs, I was like, oh yeah, this is getting good, because I feel like our piece of this vision right now, like a huge piece of it is like, I've been hearing, it's like, I'm hearing the future generations talking, and it's like, we need to bring and keep the families together. But the trouble is, we can't be alone. The families can't be alone. It's like the families need to be together as a family, but together with other families. But then you think about that, it's not just the other families. Like we have to be with elders. We have to be with like
aunties
and uncles and all the different stages. Like we need to be together somehow. And like you're saying, Jason, like all, like the static, I feel it like this like, you're constantly battling against this juggernaut that's trying to like disconnect, right? Like, and that was the question of disconnection. It was like, that's the word I heard like 15 years ago. It's like all the problems of the world relate to that one word. Like it's disconnection from earth, from each other, from, you know, spirit, mystery, whatever you want to call it, what's greater than us and unseen. And ultimately, even most people are disconnected from themselves and their own bodies and minds and hearts and spirit, or maybe they just live, we you know, living in the prison of our thinking mind. And like Taya, we're mentioning it, you were mentioning it too, like ideas, you know, my friend Jean-Claude says like ideas are dangerous, you know, like because it's just that cycling in this mind, and it just, yeah, you said it, like perpetuating the same things over and over. So here's my rant, and I'll pass it to you because I know you wanted to say something.
That's okay. Yeah, I think one thing I just wanted to like kind of put into perspective too was like this paradigm frame that we like have like dominating this modern kind of culture that we have. And it's really like, you know, we're just kind of like thrown into the world. And then, you know, when there's a problem or you get sick, you like go seek support or, you know, you just kind of fumble through or whatever. If you're lucky enough, somebody comes in and you get some guidance or like some whatever it is that you need. But I think something that like we're really missing that I've learned from like, you know, for one example, like traditional Chinese medicine, they really focus on their health as in this like cumulative aspect, right? So like, you know, during this time of your life, you need these certain supports and things for wellness, right? And then that builds throughout your lifetime, right? And then you live this like really long, healthy life because you've been supported from like right from the beginning. And what I love about John's work, what I love about Darshan Narda's of the Evolved Nest is that they really provide these like maps for wellness, right? Like it's like we don't have to just like stumble through life anymore. You know, we can follow these maps. And like when you do these things or you implement these ways of being, then you cultivate connection, you can cultivate longevity, vitality, wellness, like for not just yourself, but for the generations to come and for your community at large. And so I think that's like really important to like talk about because we don't think of life as like in terms of these like wellness pathways. It's like we wait for something to be wrong or like we wait to be sick. Or you know, you're like 30 and you're like, oh yeah, I'm so healthy, but then you turn 40 and you're like, ugh. Or like, you know, when a woman hits like you know, perimenopause or something, it's like, you know, she loses all that juicy estrogen, and then all of a sudden, it's like all of the problems that were always there are just now like exposed, right? And so, like, I love these frameworks because they offer us like a map for wellness, and I love that because then, you know, we can cultivate these things right from the very beginning, and we don't have to wait until we're not well or like wait until these things start to like show themselves later on, and we have to like, you know, intervene or do repair work or which, you know, it has its place, right? You know, like you were saying, Taya, like you could plan for the most beautiful home birth, you could like have all these ideas, and you know, sometimes things don't go the way we planned, and that's life, it happens sometimes. And so it's so important to have all those like repair works or those pieces that we can bring back together. But I think it's so important, like, wow, we could like address all these things right from the root where we don't have to like wait until illness shows up in mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and that we can like cultivate this wellness right from the beginning.
That's kind of like human nature, though, isn't it? Like, we have to wait till things get really bad until what did, like, in Jason's experience, he's talked oftentimes about specifically gentlemen and males and when they actually start to take health seriously. What did you say around that? That was really
So,
funny.
most of the time, it's usually their wives trying to bring them in to have something addressed. And it's not really unless it affects their ability to make money or have sex. And then it's a really big deal and it needs to get addressed like now.
It's funny too because I think that that also like addresses like the lack of our village too, right? And like what we were role modeled, right? So like, you know, if you look at Bruce Lipton's work, he like talks about like our brainwave stages, like from 0 to 7, right? We're basically in a hypnotic state. And that's like nature's design because it would be so much work to have to teach a child all the cultural, like the cultural pieces of your people, right? And so it's like this nature's brilliant design where you could just, you know, just by observing what is going around, this child just soaks up the culture, right? And has it inside of themselves. But we don't have that already. Well, I mean, we have that, but like, what are they soaking up these days, right? And so, like, if we don't have like those elders in our lives, or like, you know, the older generations role modeling health, or like, you could just like look at your own patterns and be like, oh yeah, like you could probably track that back to like your parents, your grandparents, or like the other adults or the influential people that were in your world during those younger years, and be like, oh, like I have those patterns because of this way it was role modeled to me, right?
Part of,
I don't know if it's necessarily like human nature that we would wait forever, but maybe like that's what we were role modeled, or like maybe that's like what the narrative is. And so like when we're like orienting to like these places of being, when we see it done this way, we're just like, we're following that because that's what we've resonated with.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the medium that we're saturated in. So it's like if we are in an environment all the time, that becomes what we embody for those first seven years. That's what goes in through like osmosis. We have to be very aware of that. But part of the thing too is that I feel like even most of the elders that maybe did connect more to nature and live that way, they're not even here, most of it anymore. And so part of it is, I feel like even a lot of people don't even have access to those sort of elders. So I think the question then comes, what do we bring from that that's really of most essence? What's really the most important things, characteristics? What's the most important wisdom or the most important skills that we need to kind of bring from that into this world? And how do we sort of integrate that now? Because
even generationally, I feel like that's been programmed out of,
right? Because it's been like elders, that for a long
our
time,
parents and our grandparents. I mean, I think of my grandma who had, you know, I remember when I would get a tummy ache, and she mostly raised me up until we migrated out of the Middle East to come to Canada. But I remember I would open up her cabinet in her kitchen, and it was all like what ours looks like now, mason jars of different herbs and spices. And she would always have concoctions that she would stir up and brew up for me. And it was all natural when I was a kid. And my parents completely stepped away from that because it was more cool, more prestigious, more higher class to actually go to a doctor, and you kind of bow down to the doctor, and the doctor became an idol. Like we started idolizing doctors and designations, and so it was, you know, and if my parents ever came out of a doctor's appointment without getting a prescription, I remember several times where my parents would say, oh, he's not a very good doctor. I mean, this has been the transition. Yeah. So it's not even necessarily, and I totally agree with you, because I feel like it definitely takes a village to raise our children. But I feel like I'm really protective of that of what that village comprised of and who's in that village. And to be honest, I don't even know if I would include some of my own family within that village, because the influences that I've had and needed to contend with and weave out and weave through hasn't really been beneficial. So it's like what Jay said, like we need to really kind of look at what's been useful and bring that forward with us, and what hasn't been, and kind of allow that to go. And then also, like you were talking about the mystery, like just really be open to the unknown and the mystery to kind of guide us from here on end, because I feel like we've just been lost for so long, and now we're just kind of finding little crumbs where we're following our heart's longing, and it's kind of little bits at a time. We're starting to allow our heart capacity to widen, to hear that voice even louder, so that we can slowly guide our way back home to a place that feels more nurturing, more connected, more together, but in a real genuine way this time.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, and I also think tied in with the wisdom from the elders that we can bring in, I also genuinely feel like all of that is within each and every one of us anyways. It's all interconnected when you look at like the unified field and all that information is there. I feel like if we incorporate some of those founding principles tied back to nature, we'll start to get our own inklings. We'll that wisdom will start to come through us to bring it in, where it doesn't even have to be from outside sort of reflection. I really do feel like we are going to, you know, like you talked about our know the sit spot. I mean, like probably one of the most important things people could start to do now is find space to be still and quiet. And that's the best way to connect into that space. So I'll pass it back to you guys, but I would like to hear kind of along those tangents, like, what are some of those most essential skills and wisdom that we do need to bring in and start to integrate?
Yeah, so so many threads are coming together right now. And I bring it back to when you said maybe it's human nature. And I think it's absolutely not. And I think it's actually human denature that, you know, seeks that if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. We you know, like the older cultures, the old way, you know, like was in balance. It was always to seek balance. We were, you know, and nowadays this would sound like a derogatory thing. We were like the animals. We were, you know, we were part of everything. We moved in balance, and we didn't seek to control and have power over everything else for our own gain. And then, you know, you're saying that all that wisdom is within us. I fully agree, but it cannot surface in the way I see it in my worldview. It cannot surface without connection to the other beings of the natural world, including humans. So we need that connection. We talked a lot about the village, but we actually need, you know, to connect to trees and mammals and birds and frog, you know, amphibians and reptiles and insects. Yeah. And, you know, that these are old teachings found all over the world that these beings like are teaching us about life, you know. And this, you know, you hear a lot of this phrase that is translated from many different indigenous languages as all my relations, right? But one of my teachers, Sal Giancarelli, his mentor was a Lakota healer named Godfrey Chips. And the way they would, one of the ways that he translates the phrase in Lakota, mitakuyo yasin, is he translates it as like, we are who we are because of all our relations. So it's like the relationships we tend actually shape who we are. And you hear in the modern world, like, you're the sum of the five people you hang out with the most. Okay, so now think about if you're hanging out with disconnected people and then you're building relationships to sidewalks, buildings, cars, shopping malls, iPhones, and like, sorry for my language, but like stupid stuff that's out there in the media, right? And or you're building, yeah, you have a sit spot and you build relationships to the land around you, the place that you're in, and all the beings that you share it with, and they bring beautiful things. And they're not these like, yeah, some of it is knowledge, but most of it, it's like it gets into our bodies, it gets into our soul, and it brings us back to that place. And like, when we had our son 5 years ago, Nolan, You know, like I didn't have any good role modeling of anything. I even had barely been around babies. And there were certain things like, you know, Christina would say, so this is an example of how this wisdom comes, you know, like is that that's inside us, like you said. And I think it's because I cultivated relationship to nature in a deep way that I could just see that right away. You know, Christina would say, oh, there's such a thing as like breastfeeding schedules. And I was like, that makes no sense. Like, doesn't just like the baby just like, you know, nurse when they need to, when they want to. And is that just like the thing? Like people have schedules for that. Like that doesn't make any sense. And I knew nothing about all that stuff. And, but it just like these things that come that people do and you're like, that have become normal. You know, we talked this a lot about this, like what's normal nowadays is actually, it's certainly not natural. Yeah, but so, yeah. That's kind of what I'm feeling there is we really need to go back. That's why I'm so dedicated to this nature connection and, you know, ancient skills and wisdom, the skills and the wisdom kind of tie together. And
these are the fun nuggets that come up during conversations, huh? It's like you mentioned human denature.
I like that.
I really like that. Yeah. It's things that we have decided that it's part of our nature to go so far away and disconnected, but yet you're categorizing it as human denature. That's really interesting.
Or denatured, like the human has been denatured, just like a food gets denatured, you know, those synthetic or overly processed food. It's like maybe like overly processed human nature.
Yeah, very interesting.
Well, when you were talking about Bruce Lipton's work, I feel like that's really so much of what's going on right now, because it's that first 7 years, really what you're going to be immersed in is why I think as parents,
we have to be so
we
protective.
Have to be really aware of the environment that we want our children to be in and then be aware of what comes up inside ourselves when we don't do it. I think is even, I mean, that's been a big learning one for us, because you kind of get this discomfort that arises around being judged or making someone else feel uncomfortable or whatever it is, all this stuff that sort of pops up.
So then you go along with it.
And you kind of go along and you feel icky about it. Or then you try to rationalize how it's not a big deal and it'll be okay. Everybody else is doing it. But it's like, this is where I think we're all kind of hitting and bumping up against the wall on this. And personally, I think it's just going to get stronger signals until eventually we just kind of go, no, like I'm really not okay. And then I think there can be a big turnaround. But for people that are not, because the reality is most people are not going to go and have the type of, maybe not the experience where they're right out in nature and they've really kind of jumped all in. For people that are, because the majority of people are, I think there's a lot of people that are wanting, they're aware of this, they're aware that there's this other thing that they want to connect with, but they're still pretty much tied in. Where do people start? Like from your perspective, where would be some good stepping places for people to start that integration process, to start to be able to connect to things? Because from our own personal experience, as soon as you start to do it, I feel like, and you get in alignment with it, you want more of it. Like it feeds itself. And it's like, then, you know, like you, when you started the book, it's like, then you wanted the next one and the next, like, if it resonates, you're going to start to want more. But where's a good place to sort of start that process for people?
Or when you came out of the school prison system and then you realized you tasted freedom and then it just got you, the synchronicities then kind of lined up. If people are looking to get out of the tentacles of their current schedule and their current life where they feel so bound, how would they...
What changes need to start to take place
to allow for that?
Well, yeah, I might need Christina to temper me a little bit, but yeah, it's so complex because everybody's situation is different. But I mean, in some way, I think I hear kind of two questions. One of them relates to why we are working on this project called the Natural Families Network. That there was two pieces to it. One is we've touched on like keeping the families together and, you know, bringing in nature and also like the way that, you know, with Christina's work, like starting with connection from the very beginning. But there was this other piece for me that, you know, I mentored children for a number of years, and then for the last like decade or a bit more, I was mostly focused on mentoring adults. And I always say that I work with adults for the children, because the children can only, these are my mentor John Young's words, like the children can only go as far as the adults can take them. And I really took that to heart. And I found that when people are parents, they, you know, already, and they want to start the journey. If they've been on it already, it's a different thing. But if they're just like all of a sudden realizing, oh, I need to do this nature connection journey, and they feel like they can't do it, because let's face it, we're all parents here. Like, there's so many things pulling at us. Like, the modern world is not designed for us to have any time. Like, so many parents are in survival mode, and like, there's work and there's this and there's that and so many things, right? But so it was to think about like little ways where you can do it and just integrate it. So like, oh yeah, maybe you can't go to your own sit spot by yourself for an hour and a half, but you can certainly step onto the porch for 5 minutes every day and commit to that. And because, you know, as Tom Brown would say, it's like, it's not the amount of time, it's the quality of awareness and the quality of connection. And, but then always all these things you can integrate your kids in. Like, we have all these experiences together as a family that are like super connective, because now it's not about us as individuals. It's about our son, and it's about our family. And
I just wanted to share like just a small example, because I think that's what, I think that that's really what the Natural Family Network too is like, you know, behind the scenes, we have this grand vision, but then it's like, how do we funnel this down and make like these practical steps that parents and families can take together?
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.